Hard to follow that. Thank you so much for your heart and sharing that story. I had a picture in my mind of an old country song, and it was about a little girl who was abused by her parents, and she would always go hide behind the couch. And later on, at one point, she was going, you know, things happened and progressed, and she was going to a church, and she was in a Sunday school, and she saw a picture of Jesus on the wall. And the lady at the Sunday school, she goes, the little girl goes, "I know who that is." And she goes, "Who is that?" He goes, "Well, that's," she goes, "that's Jesus." She goes, "Yeah, that's Jesus." And she goes, "And he's, you know, he's here with you." She goes, "That's the same guy that was with me behind the couch when my parents were fighting. And he would always put his arm around me." And I always love that story. And that's the picture that I get when kids cry out like that. So we're going to talk about relapse. Anybody ever had any experience with any kind of a relapse? We all know what it is. So I looked it up in the dictionary to see, you know, what the dictionary says. It's always amazing. A relapse means to fall or to slip back into a former state or a former practice that you have had. I've not done drugs. I have used alcohol. I've never really had a problem with that, but my relapse has been food and depression, which I'm just learning about the depression part, believe it or not. I didn't think of myself as a depressed person. But doing the inventory that we're asked to do through Celebrate Recovery, you ask yourself questions. Have you guys done your inventory or pieces of it and parts of it, right? So you're asking yourself different questions. You're doing a checkup on yourself. And doing that checkup, when you're doing it willingly and when you're doing it with God by your side and with the Holy Spirit, He reveals things to you about yourself. And one of the things He revealed to me is that part of my stuff that I have had was actual depression. Maybe not to the severity that some people have it, but if you look in your little folders, there's a little checklist to do as part of your inventory about how not to fall back into a relapse. And it's called the heart. And that's one of the things that I was doing. If you look in, the heart stands for hurting, exhausted, angry, resentful, and tense. Well, I kept thinking, my God, I'm so tired. I'm so this, I'm so that. I mean, not just tired, but exhausted, where you can't even keep your eyes open anymore. I thought, yeah, that part, hurting. And I thought, well, there's always something to hurt about if you let yourself, right? But sometimes it was so bad, I would cry at the drop of a hat. I thought, what is that all about? I have a good walk with the Lord. Everything's good. I don't get that. Angry. I don't think I was angry at anybody, but I noticed that my temper was getting shorter at certain things. Resentful. You know, tense. Let's not go to tense. My neck is like the wall of China right now. It's just like, you know, it's a brick. But as I was doing that and I was reading this list and I was listening to another speaker talk about her depression and the things that she was doing, I'm going, huh, that sounds like me. Huh, that sounds like me too. Why am I depressed? I have a good job. I live in a beautiful place. God's answered my prayers. He's provided for me. It's because I just haven't dealt with certain things, certain areas in my life. There are things like Constance was saying, you know, that you're still bleeding somewhere. But you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with God. And you have to be willing to look at it. And it really kind of opened my eyes up to this part, and that's part of my journey. Relapse isn't a fun place to be. Relapse doesn't necessarily mean just a physical relapse. Do you know that you can relapse spiritually as well? Right? You've heard of backsliders. But if you relapse spiritually, you will definitely relapse physically. But I also think when you start relapsing physically, you can connect it to your spiritual part. So I was reading in the book of Jeremiah, and I would really encourage you to read. The Old Testament is really, really incredible. Kind of scary sometimes, but it's incredible. So in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 3, it talks about, well, first it starts about talking about a divorced wife, and I said, oh God, not again. Please stop talking to me about this. But it goes on beyond that, because God uses that to compare to an unfaithful Israel as a people. I mean, it's pretty long. I don't want to read the whole thing up. But it goes on and it says, where is this? It says, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me, but she did not. And her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. If you look throughout the Old Testament, God punished Israel for disobeying him and not following him. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister, Judah, had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Because Israel's immortality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood, meaning building idols. In spite of that, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me either with all of her heart, but only in pretense. I thought, wow, only in pretense. You ever seen anybody go through life, go through their church and stuff, and they pretended to be faithful? I know I have. People come to church, ooh, checklist. People go to Bible study, oh, check, I did that. People go to their meeting, check, did that. But their heart isn't there. I experienced that personally with someone very close to me. Actually, it was my ex-husband. And when he said, I did everything for you. He goes, I even accepted God for you. I went, whoa. So what you're telling me is that all this other stuff, you pretended to be just so we can stay together. So it wasn't in his heart to do what, you know, the things for real. So, the Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go proclaim this message to the north. It says, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful. I will not be angry forever, says the Lord. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me. Return, faithless people, for I am your husband. And then he goes on to speak more to Israel. And as you read on, it says, how gladly would I treat you like sons and give you a desirable land. He wanted so much to bless Israel. But because they kept backsliding, because they kept relapsing, going back into what they weren't supposed to be doing, God was going to punish them. But what did God do? He says, I thought you would call me father and not turn away from following me, but like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you have been unfaithful to me, O house of Israel. So there's a cry. It's heard on the barren heights, weeping and pleading. The people of Israel were pleading to God, please don't kill us. And what does he do? Well, if you look at history, what does God do? He forgives Israel. He does it again because he's merciful. And that's what he does for us when we relapse. When we start fall backwards, backsliding, you can use that word as well. You know when you're doing it. I can go in a hole. I was watching this great DVD on with this preacher. And he did the 9 signs of impending relapse. I don't think I need the signs. We all know the signs. We all know us. We all know what that looks like, you know. It's how to stop doing that. So how do you think God says to stop relapse? The inventory checklist. You have to have a checklist. But one of the most important things is your time with God. To make sure that you have time with God, not to just tell him what's going on, but to listen to him. And he will speak to you. So when you're doing that, when you're doing your inventory and you're asking God to, you know, help you, in Ephesians 6, and I would really ask you guys to read that. Y'all know what Ephesians 6 is, right? It's the armor of God. You got to do that daily. That is what's going to help you not go into a relapse, not go into a backslide. And you got to do it every day, but you got to do it honestly. You have to come there with a heart that's willing to do it. So therefore, he says in chapter 6, verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, not if the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Notice how he says that twice. Because what happens if we don't stand up? We can get run over. We fall down, we become weak. You know, when you're laying down, you're weak. So when you stand up, stand again. Keep standing. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All those flaming arrows. Anybody ever been hit by a flaming arrow? That flaming arrow can hurt really, really bad. And it comes in all different shapes, sizes, ways, from different people. It can come from family, it can come from people that you love. It can come from strangers. It can come from myself. That would be another big one. But we have the shield of faith. By believing in the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for us on this cross, on a cross, we have that faith. But we have to pick up the shield of faith. You can't just say, okay, shield me. It doesn't work that way. You've got to pick it up. That means you have to do something. It's kind of like back in the days, again, back to the Old Testament, when Israel was wandering around the desert and they were, oh, I'm so hungry, we should have stayed in Egypt because we don't have any food, blah, 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 blah. So what does God do? He rains manna out there, some bread from the sky, right? And it fell like dew on the grass outside of their tent. God didn't go here and go here and throw it in the tent. He didn't do that. He threw it outside. So what did the people have to do? You have to walk outside and go pick it up. That's what he wants us to do. We have feet. We have to do our part. That means picking up that shield of faith every day. Sometimes minute by minute, if it's really bad, if things are really weighing heavily on you, that means you have to do it second by second sometimes. And you do whatever it takes. Whether it's like me, people laugh when they come in my house because I have Post-its everywhere. Come into my bathroom, it's full of Post-its here. And on my wall in my bedroom, I got a whole wall of Post-its and notes and things. And sometimes I read them. Sometimes I stand there. Sometimes I stare at them. Sometimes I cry over them. But they're to remind me of what I need to do. There's one sign that says, no sad music. No sad movies, and no sad books. And why is that? Because those are triggers for me. Because there was a time when I would get so down, and what do? I'm such a good Russian person. I go put music on. Nice, sad songs, love songs that just rip my heart. Talk about a fiery arrow that goes right into my soul. And then I go and I start singing them. And then I start crying. Whoa. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pretty pathetic. And, but I did that to myself. How stupid are we sometimes? Really? We know that we shouldn't do that, but we do it anyway because it kind of feels good. It kind of soothes that raw. It's kind of like when you have a burn or something and you know you shouldn't itch it or a rash. Oh, you want to do it so bad, and then it makes it worse, but you still do it anyway. That's what that was like for me. But instead, now, not that I do it all the time and I'm perfect at it, of course, I'm still human. I really have to look at my note and say, oh, okay, I'm not watching that movie. I've had movies recommended to me. I've had books recommended. Nope, I can't do that. I can't listen to that. I have to change the channel. I have to be intentional to pick up that shield of faith. All right, so we got the shield of faith. So then you take the helmet of salvation. And that's a gift. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. I like that one. Which is the Word of God. I like that because then I can defend. The other things are protecting me. The other things are protecting me from the fiery darts from my enemy that seeks to kill and destroy, just like you. But this one, it's a weapon. So now, okay, shield up. I got the hat on, everything. It's like, okay, on guard. You know what? You can't touch me anymore because I got something to fight with, and it is the Word of God because God loves you. He loves me. He loves each one of you, and he died on the cross for you. He sent his son for that reason. But by picking up that Word of God, you can fight. You know, I heard somebody earlier talking about, you know, being in a really rough place, and you get tired of fighting. It gets tiresome, and we get weary. Well, that's what we're here for. That's what the church is for. That's what accountability partners, sponsors, that's what that's for, because we can't do it alone. I'm tired. But I've got to stand up and I have to be bold enough and put my pride aside and say, I need help. So the other day I had a relapse with my food issues and stuff and started to get depressed and I wasn't sleeping. And I did. I have two accountability partners in Nevada. And I said, I can't do it. I said, I need some prayer. I need some help. I'm stumbling. And they prayed with me right then and there. And I know that they're praying for me daily and they support me. We need each other. It is so vital that you don't isolate yourself when you're trying to go through all this stuff. That's what we're here for. That's what the church is there for. So you reach out to people. Don't try to do it by yourself. So we've got that. We got the sword, which is the Word of God. And then pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Which occasions? Some? All. All. Every single. Bad? Good? Pastor Scott said it earlier. It's not, you know, if the tribulations come in our life. It's when they come. When that evil one is coming. He's doing it. Okay? But we have the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit. It was already given to us. We have to use it to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Be alert. What does that mean? Be alert. Be aware. That's what that daily inventory is so important. Are you hurting? Are you tired? Are you tense? Are you depressed? Go through that checklist and look at it and see if any of those apply to you. Call for help. First, you got to call God. Call on God. What does Joyce Meyer always say? Go to the throne, not the phone. Got to go to the throne first. You know, yeah. There's Winston Churchill said, I love this. When you find yourself walking through hell, keep moving forward. How many of us just stop? Oh, it's so hard. I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. It hurts. It hurts so much. But you keep moving forward. Why? Because on the other side of that is healing. It's freedom from all the crap in your life, from all your addictions, from your sins, from your whether it's food, anger, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, shopping, boundaries, whatever it is, keep going through it. I want to end with one of the things I was learning from Beth Moore. And she used a word. She's always using a word. And for the last 3 years, I've been going through my ordeal. God kept giving me words that started with R-E. There was repent, there was renew, refresh, recommit, return. I mean, there's all these different R-E words. Well, what does relapse start with? R-E. Well, thanks a lot, Lord. Okay, that was funny. I don't think I like that word very much, but it's an important word because it's going to happen. Just like those fiery darts are going to happen. Relapse can happen. We're all going to have bad days. But who's it up to fight that? You. You're the only one who can do it. So Beth Moore was talking, and all of a sudden she was talking. I don't remember what the subject was that she was talking about. But she came up with a word, and it was resilient. Ooh, R-E. I said, what? Resilient. So we looked up resilient, and I love this definition. To return to your original form or position after being bent, compressed, or stretched. I ask you, have any of you ever felt like that sometime in our life? I know that I've been stretched to my limits, which I thought I had limits, you know. Compressed, bent, yeah. Beaten, downtrodden, you stepped on, you name it, okay? But to return to that original shape. So what is our original shape? We are children of the Most Almighty God. That's our original position and our shape. We are daughters and sons of the King who formed us in His image. In His image. That's our original shape and form. So after being bent and pressed, compressed, what was the other one? Stretched. Oh, yeah. Roar, stretched. Remember those, what was that stupid doll that they had? Stretch Armstrong? And you pull on his arms and lay, and he bounces right back. That's what we got to do. That's what we have to do, but we can't do it alone. And we need to take our, we have to do the work. So take your inventory, check to see, like in the thing it says in there, to check your heartbeat. Check that heartbeat. Do you feel hurt? Did somebody kind of snaggle you a little bit today? Or did somebody maybe, you know, look at you the wrong way or said something? Or are you resentful? Has there something that you have, some unforgiveness in your heart that you haven't really dealt with? That finding that depression in my life, I'm thought, what the heck? Oh, there it is though, but I need to deal with that. And that's what I intend to do. First thing is to pray. Find somebody to pray with you. Call a friend. I implore you to not just do your inventory, but also find a sponsor, accountability partner, somebody that will pray for you. Ask your pastors. Ask your leaders in your churches. Because they're willing to do that because that would bless them as well as you. Because that's what we're put on earth for, to serve one another as children of God. Amen? All right. Okie doke, Jen. So now we're just going to split up into small... Well, actually, because we're missing Mike tonight, we are going to do something a little different. We are going to all meet over there in a circle, and we're all going to be together in one big small group. So we can talk a little bit more about this checklist and our heartbeat. All right? Okay, thanks.